Okay. So, I mean, since this is new to many of you, so I'm going to repeat a lot of things from last class, just so that it sinks in better, okay? So, what we're trying so far is we are trying to reason about the world, and as I said, the changes, action and change is a very key component of the world, that everything is dynamic. So things change, and so we are trying to model this change due to actions. So we started with a simple action language, which we call A0, where we have the description D is just describes the effect of an action on the world. And it consists of very simple statements of the form an action A will cause F to be true or false. A causes F if certain preconditions are satisfied, P1 to PN. Very simple. And then there are observations, the two kinds. One is about the initial state, so initially something is true, something is false. And then there are oracles if somebody gives you some extra information. And given this, we would like to ask queries. And we saw that depending on how you ask these queries, in the simple case, it could be about trying to find out if a particular control or a particular sequence of actions will get to your goal, or if you have a goal and you want to find that particular sequence of actions, then that's kind of planning. So there are various, by keeping this framework, there are various different kind of reasoning you can do with it. Okay, so the syntax is the language, or I mean the language we discuss the syntax, and the next thing comes is semantics. So what is the meaning of it, or how do I answer these queries with respect to some description in this language? And to answer these queries, the meaning is based on a structure which is we call model. It basically has two parts, the initial state sigma 0 and the transition function. In other words, the description is one side. So this is the description, and from this the semantics is sigma 0 and phi, and there might be many sigma zeros if we have incomplete information. So the semantics is a collection of this kind of thing, saying what is the initial state, but this transition, with our language, the transition is deterministic, transition function. Okay? So someone might question, like, why do I have to go write this and have the semantics defined? Why not give the description here directly? And by now you should know the answer, right? If we have n fluents or n properties, then there will be 2 to the power n possible things, and this transition function will take huge space. Okay, so we cannot express this directly. We express it naturally how people express the effect of actions. They don't give you this whole table. I mean, phi is our table basically. Okay, so we define the syntax and the semantics, and once we have there, we know how to, from this we can say if the particular, say D O, maybe open here, if it entails the query Q or G after B1 to BN. Okay, and this is how do we find out for each of these. We start with sigma 0, and then we say apply B1, then we apply B2, apply Bn, and we get this state, and we check if G is true there or not. Okay, and each of these going from here to here is based on the transition function tells us that. That given a state and an action, what will be the next? That's the transition function will tell you. Okay, so this is the big picture of what we did before the last class. So next question is, of course, again, always there is a definition and there is implementation. So even though this is the definition, I'm not necessarily going to implement it that way. We'll see how we will implement it. We don't have to, we don't want to construct all this, okay, individually, and then do this, right? Because if we are to implement this, then we have to have phi and stored in somewhere in our computer, right? Of course, we don't want to store file. So we have, even though this is defined this way, we are not going to be able to use this file. We are going to do something directly here. With this directly here. But before we discuss the algorithm, that will be the next class after I come back. Before we discuss the algorithm, we want to know how, what are the different kind of questions one may ask and how hard it is to answer in general. Okay, so some of them are easier, and so we discussed three of these, and the first two were polynomial. Is the third one, which it was difficult and which is we prove in the class to be NP complete. Okay, so I'm going to go over that one a little faster this time, and with so NP. So in algorithms, you have, I mean, any kind of algorithm, you're taking some input and you're processing it. So the based on that input. So how much time a particular algorithm takes based on the input, so that is where you say the complexity. So you say, okay, what is my input length? And you're giving something and you're processing it. So if the length of your input is n, and you take, say, 2n plus 3 or 2n plus 67, if it can be the time you take can be expressed as a linear function of n, then you say the algorithm is linear. Okay. Now it can be 2000n plus 5000, that's still linear. Because when you draw the thing, it's a straight line. It might have slopes, but it's a straight line. Okay. And then, so next is, if you have a quadratic function of n, then say quadratic, I mean cubic and so on, and if it is like n to the power some polynomial, n to the power some number, then it's called a polynomial. If you have a polynomial function, then the algorithm is said to be of complexity is polynomial. That's what polynomial means. I mean, some of these are like quadratic or much simpler. Now, exponential is when it is something to the power n. Okay, and we showed like 2 to the power n means right is very, very fast. So exponential is something to be wary of. So that's kind of the basic complexity theory. And then where NP completeness comes is we often actually in AI and reasoning and many other fields, we are faced with problems that we do not know yet a polynomial time algorithm. But if somebody gives us a possible solution, we can verify it in polynomial time. That means it's in NP. Okay? So we are saying, okay, if somebody gives us, we can verify it, but we cannot find it. So this finding is kind of the one hassle. Finding is the one trouble. So is there a smart way of finding it? Sometimes there is a smart way of finding it, and then the algorithm becomes a smart polynomial. But other time, we just don't know yet if there's a smart way of finding it. So then somebody developed the notion of NP completeness, basically saying, okay, maybe at this point you do not have a smart way of finding a possible solution and then verify it, but someday somebody might come up with it. So we want to put all the problems into one class and call them NP complete, and the definition is that if someday somebody solves any one of these problems in NP complete in polynomial, then everything in NP becomes solvable in polynomial time. So you cannot leave a challenge to the future generation saying, okay, I mean there are thousands of problems we are putting in this class. All anybody has to do to get a Nobel Prize or a Turing Award is to solve one of these, any one of these, in polynomial time, because automatically everything else also will become polynomial time. So that's the idea, and behind that idea comes the definition. So something is NP complete if it is NP, in NP. And the second one is that every problem in NP can be reduced to this problem in polynomial time. And what that biases is that if I solve this problem, then I take any other problem, I can reduce, spend polynomial time to make come to this problem, I'll solve this one and go back and I'll have a solution for every other problem. Okay, every other problem can be reduced to this problem. So now, if I solve this, that means I can go from give me any other problem, I will reduce it, and in polynomial time, that's the requirement, and I know how to solve this one, I'll solve this, and then I have a solution for this one. Okay? So that is NP completeness. Again, NP complete means that the problem is in NP, that is somebody gives you an answer, a possible answer, you can verify it, and then it's complete among the class of NP. So this completeness in a class is a general concept. It's used with NP or many other classes like that. Okay, so it's complete in NP means that every problem in NP can be reduced to this problem in polynomial time. So now we have the definition, and so the question is, okay, suppose I have to prove something to be NP complete, how do I prove? I mean, I can, first step is easy, I just prove that it's in NP. Second step is I have to prove that every problem can be reduced to this. And that's not so simple. When you say every problem can be reduced to this, it's a difficult thing. Right? So the first problem that was proven NP complete is satisfiability. And the way it was proven was, I mean, first you saw satisfiability in NP. If somebody gives you the values of this is true, this is false, you just plug it in and you can find out if it is satisfiable or not. Okay, satisfiable is a formula, a logical formula, and you're trying to find out if there is some assignment to the variables so that the whole thing becomes true. That's satisfiability. Okay, so satisfiability is of course in NP. So now the next step is, okay, how do we prove it to be NP complete? And we have to show that every other problem can be reduced to satisfiability. And the idea is that, okay, when we define NP, the notion of NP is formally defined as that there is a non-deterministic Turing machine that can do this in polynomial time. Okay, I do not have time to talk about Turing machine, but very briefly, in Turing machine there is kind of a tape, and you can go from this tape to this tape, or depending on what you read and what state it is in. Okay. So all that information of how to move in the tape of the Turing machine, it can be written in logic. You're saying, if you're here and you see this, then go to this. And that's logic. So in other words, the whole Turing machine computation, a non-deterministic Turing machine computation, can be written as a logical formula. So in other words, every problem that can be expressed in the non-deterministic Turing machine can be solved, can also be written as a logical formula. I mean, that's basically the proof, and of course you have to write it down very precisely. You know how hard it is to go from ideas to preciseness. And if you think about it, actually it's not very, I mean, so it's a very clever idea, but I mean, the proof is not very complicated in terms of the thought behind it. Because if you look at, and if you have studied Turing machines, it's quite easy to think of that whatever you are saying in whatever the conditions, that's like a logical formula. So satisfiability was proven to be NP complete. Now that made life easier. So now for anything else to be proven NP complete, we know that all problems can be converted to satisfiability, right? So if I want to prove that something else is NP complete, I have to prove that all problems can be converted to something else. So I can do it in two steps. I know that all these problems can be solved to satisfiability. So all I have to do is so that satisfiability can be reduced to this. And later, once I increase my class, I don't have to stick to satisfiability. Anything which is already proven to be NP complete, I can take that and transform that to my problem that I'm trying to solve to be NP complete. And I'm on purpose not using boards, where I want you to listen and visualize and put in your head. Okay, that is what I'm trying here. I mean, that's how I've been to lectures, like philosophers when they lecture. They don't write or they don't have slides. They actually, at best they have something written and they read it. But they have to captivate the audience and let the audience think and imagine to understand it. And that's what I'm trying. I don't know if I'm successful or not. Okay? So, I mean, these are difficult concepts, but I think if you think and you ask me, I mean, if you get it in your head, that's the best. So NP completeness means that it's an NP and every other problem in NP can be reduced to it. And what is the benefit? That if someday someone solves a NP complete problem in polynomial time, Everything else becomes solvable in NP complete in polynomial time. Yeah, there are problems in NP which may not be NP complete. Yeah, and in fact those are called NP hard. Oh, no, actually I made a mistake. NP hard is something different. NP hard is everything can be reduced to NP, everything in NP can be reduced to it, but you haven't shown it to be in NP or something. I have to check that. But there are problems in which it means you can be one or the other. Everything can be reduced to this, but you cannot itself solve it. No, they are all together. It's a one class, NP complete. Because they are all interrelated to each other by definition. Everything in NP can be reduced to this. Okay. So now we go to this problem. And so if you want to show this to be NP complete, okay? So we know our SAT, so you want to reduce SAT to this thing. And so SAT is, say I have F11 or F12, F1N1, and F21 or F22, F2N2, FM1 or 2 or FMN. So it's a formula, and we want to so satisfiability is basically given this formula. You want to find out if all these things that you have, like they might have F11, F12, all these things, if there's assignment, like this is true, this is false, if there's assignment which will make this true. And note that these are not necessarily different. So I can have something like say A or B or not C, and not B or C or D or E, and not D or not A or B. So I'm assigning this to is A, B, C, and D and E. That's the assignment I need assignment for A, B, C, D, and E so that this whole formula is true. I mean, so I cannot make A true here and make A true false here. It's the same A. So why it is hard, or why it is, could be hard, is there are, if there is 5, then there are 2 to the power of 5 possible assignments. And how do I find which one? How do I find one and check? So that's why it could be, if I don't find a smart way of looking, there are exponential possibilities. Okay. Now, once I find this, if somebody gives me this, checking is not hard. All I have to do is plug it, and it's just linear. I mean, I just plug it in this or this or this, and I know the table, and I can figure it out. If this is say I have true, false, true, true, false, then A is true, B is false, so true or anything is true. So this becomes true. Then I calculate each of them, and then I find if all of them are true, then I can say if this formula satisfies or not. Assignment makes this formula true or not. So I can verify it quickly, and that's why it is in NP. Okay, and I told you why it is NP complete, because every problem in NP can be written. A problem is solvable in NP is kind of a condition in the Turing machine, and all those conditions can be written as a big, huge logical formula. So every problem in NP can be reduced to SAT. Therefore, SAT is a NP complete problem, and since we are proving it from the basics, it's called the canonical NP complete problem. Okay. So now that we know that, so we want to show that this problem R3 is here. Is NP complete, right? So to show that, we need to show all problems can be reduced to R3. Reduced in polynomial time to R3, and we don't want to do that. We take advantage and we say, okay, this one has been sown, we'll only sow this part. Because this is NP complete, so this we know. So all we have to do is go from here to here, and then we'll be fine. Okay. So now the clever part comes. So how do we construct this R3? So what do we have in R3? We have a domain description D, we have this O, and we have this O prime. Right? So what we want is we want to that given a formula F, this formula F is satisfiable if and only if something we are going to construct here using F, if and only if say DF, OF, and OF prime, this is what we are going to construct. From F, taking the F, we are going to construct a D, an O, and an O prime. And we want to prove that F is satisfiable if and only if, that means this makes this true, this makes this true, if and only if this thing is consistent. So it's not just, I mean, when you go from here to here, it's not just you give something and, okay, I went from here to here. You have to create this in such a way that this thing is true. Okay, when you say reduction, that is what it means. And this construction should be in polynomial time, and this condition should be true. Why is that? Because the whole point of reduction is that if I know how to solve this in NP in polynomial time, all I have to do is take F, make this conversion, solve this, and from this solution, I can get back this solution. Because if this is solvable, or if this is true, then this becomes true. If this is false, then this becomes false. We say if and only if condition. One thing you have to be careful is this transformation has to be such that this thing is true. So when you prove NP completeness, you have to give this transformation and you have to prove this. Okay, so when you homework, when you do SAT to 3-SAT, you do the conversion and then you have to prove it. So it's not like if I have 3-SAT, I just take the first 3 of these and say I made a 3-SAT formula. Yes, you made a 3-SAT formula, but does this satisfy this condition? Okay. So now, oftentimes the insight you have to the problem will give you ideas of how to construct it. So we know what happens, what is the problem here, is that there are various possible assignments of this F, right, of all these variables. So we can think like, okay, in our domain also, we have initial states, and maybe we can think that there are various possible initial states. Okay? And if one of these initial states, so whichever state says makes this true, whichever assignment makes this true, let's say that initial state is good. Okay? So now we want to do something so that if we will get back to that initial state. So we're saying, okay, if some assignment makes this true, so in that assignment, for that particular initial state, if we have some actions, say, which will somehow use this idea and proceed. So what we did was we created actions like saying, okay, we'll have an action, say, A1 causes Z1 and if F11 A1 causes G1 if F12, like that. Okay, I actually have just one action in A is fine. So A causes like this. So it causes Z1, and it also, if this part is true, then A will cause G2. So F12 up to Fn, F11, and then similarly A causes G2 if F2 2, 1, and so on. For each of these things, we are making this. So what happens is, at the end of it, if whatever makes this true, if that is true here, then if you do A, then you will have G1, G2, G3, Gn, all of them will be true. And then you can just make, say, another action, A prime causes G if G1 to Gn. So for this initial state, if you do A first, then it will make G1, it will make G2, and all the Gn. And then if you do A prime, then you will get G. Now if you assume that initially all of these G's are false, initially not G1, not G2, not Gm, and not G, right? And then you say, I observe that G is after A and A prime. So this is my OF, this is my O prime F, and this is my DF. So what happens is, for whichever thing satisfies this, that particular thing, that particular initial state would make, if I do A in that and in A prime in that, I will get G. So this kind of goes one way. Okay, this proof is one way. We have to prove that the other way. Another, that if this side is true, then that, right? So we can say, okay, there are many ways to do this. We can say, okay, suppose this is true. So suppose G after A prime is consistent. So consistent means that there is a model sigma 0 and phi which where this value is to be true. So that sigma 0 is this sigma 0. And we say, okay, in that sigma 0, phi, if I do A and then A prime, I get G. Right? Now initially, all these are false. So for A to give me, for A prime to give me G, before A prime I would have to have G1 to Gn. And before that, to have G1 to Gn, one of this must be true, one of this must be true, and so on. And if they are true, that means this must be, one of this must be true, one of this must be true, one of this must be true, that means the whole formula must be satisfiable. So that's the other part of NP completeness. It's not enough just to give a construction. Means that millions of or infinite number of constructions you can give. You have to find a correct one, a good one, which satisfies this if and only if condition. And again, we are doing this with respect to the simplest language. I don't intend to do this for everything that I study in this class, but only the first simplest one, so you know the concept. In these days in research in AI, it's good to know, at least understand this concept, because often you'll see papers with this concept. Because everything in AI, I mean, if it can be done in polynomial time or known to be in polynomial time, it kind of falls out of AI. Most of the AI thing is difficult, that things you cannot do. Okay, again, the construction is easy. If the proof is a little harder, so let me repeat the proof. Construction is repeating again. You have this formula, okay? So I want to say that if the initial state, if one of this is true, I want to encode that. Then something happens. So that's what is encoded, saying if A causes G1, so I will label this kind of this formula G1, this formula G2, and this formula Gn, like just for my sake. I'm saying A will cause G1 if one of this is true. A will cause G2 if one of this is true. That's what I'm writing. And then I'm saying if all these G1, G2, Gm, all of them are true, then A prime, some other action, will cause, make G to be true. So G is this whole formula. And initially all of these were false. And I'm saying that after you do A and A prime, the oracle is that G will be true after that. And the only way G will be true after this is, after A prime, will call G if this, then this G will be true after A prime only if this is true. And G1 to GN will be true, each of them will be true, G1 will be true if one of these is true. So definitely if I have this as consistent, then this becomes satisfiable. The other way around is more easier. Okay? So time for homework number 2 is write this proof in detail. Okay? There is a proof, I mean the sketch in the slides. In fact, in the book part there is a more complicated proof, so just write for this simplest thing. So you have just, I want you to write down the steps the way I explained it. I'll have the recording so you can listen to the recording too. Okay, just the process of writing it kind of makes things clear in your head. I mean, this will be the not another one, just this one. And besides the 3 stats, this one will be at least something not in the book yet. Okay. Yes. Huh? Due date 2 weeks. No, that was Tuesday. You can have 2 days later, Thursday. And I'll be fine. In 2 weeks. Okay? Ask me. If you have a question, ask me. Okay. So this was revision, and on purpose, I just want to make this a difficult concept. I want to make everything clear. Okay? So let's go to R4 now. And here, we get into a notion of co-NP complete. And the idea here is actually, as hard as NP complete is, co-NP complete people think is harder. And so let me explain an example of co-NP complete. So NP complete in this problem is saying find an assignment which makes this true, right? Now I want to say the opposite, that there is no assignment which can make this true. There is no assignment which can make this true. That's my question. Can you tell me if there are no assignment that this can make this true? Now, if there are no assignment, that means I have to try each possible assignment. I mean, maybe I'll be lawyer, and all of them do not make it. That is not satisfiable. That means. Yeah, so all assignments make this false. No, all assignments make it false is assignment. Complement of this problem is NP complete. So NP is F is not satisfiable. I'm missing something in my head. Yes. Same. It's of the same difficulty as NP, or usually, like in NP, you have something like there exists some variables, and there's a polynomial property you can prove. Okay, and co-NP is like for all assignments, this another polynomial property say is provable. Okay, so usually. So there exists XPX, and so why this is difficult is for all X, so you are trying to test all of these possibilities. Okay. Not just one, I mean, when satisfiable, you're trying to find one. Here, you want to check all of them. And so even clever search might not work. But what happens is that, so this is NP, core NP. Now you can write the, I mean this one is actually not of, if you complement this, say if you complement this not for LX QX, then you get that exists X not Q of X. And this is again back to the form of NP. So co-NP is that the complement is NP. And I mean, one of the problems is if you do this problem F is satisfiable, right? So if you want to make the complement not F, I mean, you don't get this form. You can actually blow up. So, okay. So a co-NP complete is that the complement is NP. Okay? That's the co comes from. So R4 says that deciding this is co-NP complete. So now there is a relation between R3 and R4, and can you think of it and see, so that if I know R, I mean R, solving R4 is basically solving the complement of R3 or opposite of R3. Let me repeat again the part I was getting confused, but it's clear now. When you have a formula and satisfiability, right? So if I ask, is this formula satisfiable? So you say yes, and I ask you for evidence, you give me an assignment. Okay? That's how you're going to tell me, show me it's satisfiable. Now I ask, is this formula not satisfiable? That means there is no assignment which will make this true. Okay, not satisfying. There's no assignment. All the assignments make it false. Okay, then if you want to give me evidence, you have to give me all of that. So it's much difficult. Okay, just giving me one is not enough, because you want to show me that this is not satisfiable at all. That every possible assignment will make this false. So it's a difficult, but on the other hand, its complement is the finding one. So the usually finding something is easier than showing that for everything is the property is true. Sometimes you get lucky, like the NP complete definition, where you say for all NP you can do it, because all of them fall into some category. And that is actually the style, if you can somehow show that all of these possibilities somehow are of some particular category and you can work on it, then it's fine. Okay. So there are many ways to do this. The way to do it is try to think of the meaning of what we are saying and somehow break it down so that at some point we get to R3. Okay? Because we know R3 is NP complete, and if we can reduce or show that the negative of R4 is equal to R3, then that would be a way of showing that R4 is co-NP complete. Again, if something is NP complete, the negation of that is co-NP complete. What do you mean by negation? If I have a statement, I say not, put not in front of it. So satisfiability, a formula is satisfiable. Not, and if you put not, a formula is not satisfiable. So similarly, R4 I have is this the DO entails with oracle O prime Q after B1 to BM, and I want to say it doesn't entail. So now I want to show that if it does not entail, then it's similar to R3, or the same as R3 actually. So, and that will show me your understanding. So why don't you write in your notebook, try for 5-10 minutes, so that DO O prime does not imply, DO does not imply that so that is equivalent to RC. And look at your slides, think about what the meaning of this entailment is. So let me raise this and tell you what I'm asking. So we'll write to so D O O prime to D after B 1 to B M is co N to complete. So D O not of this thing, whole thing. This is equivalent to. So now I want you to think about what this means and do two or three steps of equivalence, and you will get to R3. Okay, this also will kind of verify if you are understanding what's happening or not, or if you understand the meaning. You can look back at your slides or anything that you want. I can tell you what it means, but I don't want to write it down. I can tell you so it under. When I have DO entails O prime G after this, right? It means first DO has models, sigma 0 and phi. And there are many of those models for DO. And O prime, when you put there, you pick those ones which satisfy O prime. And the remaining one must satisfy G after B1 to Bm. So you want to say not for all models of DO that satisfy O prime, G after prime, O prime, we query G after B1 to Bm is true in that model. And there's a not here in behind. So now, think of English. If I have this statement and I put not here, say this is not true, then how do you simplify it? I say, all the chocolates are good, and then I put not in it. That means there is one of the chocolates which is not good. Right? So think of in English. If I say something, all of this is this, and then I put a not in front of it, that means there is something which does not satisfy that property.